Before I climb up into the pulpit, which I will do so that you can see me better, I wanted to show you a picture, and I know it's hard to see. You can look at it as you come up for communion. But this has been the icon for me for this gospel reading today. This is a picture of the parable of the lost sheep. And it has hung in my office, wherever it has been, for almost 20 years. This was a gift to me many years ago. I've already showed it to the choir, so don't worry about them. They've seen it. The person who gave me this must have thought I needed to contemplate this parable over and over and over again, which is what we do with parables and what we should do with parables. So I'm going to be referring, I'll describe the picture, and I'm going to leave it here on the chair so that you can see it when you come up for Eucharist. But know that you are all welcome anytime to come be with me and visit me in my office. I'll share a cup of coffee, and we can talk about this picture and any number of other ones I have in there or anything that's on your mind. There, now I feel taller. It's good to be up here. In this picture that I have here, there are two frames, two boxes, and the lost sheep is on the right, your right. The lost sheep is in a dark place. He is thin and weak, and if you look closely at him, he's shivering and miserable and standing just like you would imagine a cold lost sheep would stand. You might think, if you look at this picture long enough, that if the sheep stays there by himself much longer, he will die. On the other side of the frame is the flock of sheep that used to include him. They gather together in the light. They are sleek and fat and strong. And all of them, every head of the sheep we can see on the left, is turned and looking at the lost sheep. Every one of them looks his way. Now, parables, you probably know, look simple on the outset. But when you scratch at them, when you start to open them, they can be really confusing. And there can be interpretation after interpretation after interpretation. And I think that if we really delve into parables and understand that Jesus is telling these stories to capture our attention, we can be like those very first listeners, the crowds that heard his stories and hear them, and they expect one ending, but they get a different ending. And the reaction for us and the reaction for them is that, wait, what? What is it that you're trying to tell us? The more we dig, the more we find. And there are so many reasons that each one of us can become separated from our crowd. We can become lost from the people and the values and the life-giving moments that fill us up. In Luke, Jesus speaks to us of how people get separated from one another through sin. The notion that our sin separates us from our community is a biblical teaching, and it matches with our own church's theology on sin. It is the undergirding of our confession, either our communal confession or one-on-one confession with a clergy person you trust. And the absolution is about restoring us to community. Sin is that action, any action that we take that separates us from our core values, from our families, whatever our community is, and then from God. In our Book of Common Prayer, towards the end, we have an outline of the faith, sometimes called the Catechism. And the definition of sin there says that sin is the seeking of our own will instead of the will of God, thus distorting our relationship with God, with other people, and with all of creation. Now, I know that whenever we talk about sin in the church, especially in an Episcopal church, we all get just a little bit squirmy. It's not usually the topic of our conversations here. But it is something I think we need to shine a light on and think about in our own lives. And there are all kinds of things that can make us feel lost. There's sin of self. There's also sin of community. That could be a whole nother talk about this parable. What happens in our communities that pushes somebody out to be lost? But today I want to focus on this icon and where we are in our own souls. Because being alone, being lonely, or being lost are not the same thing. We can be alone by choice. We become lonely sometimes by circumstance. But the word lost carries so much more baggage. Being lost is isolating and scary. To feel lost, to feel least, to feel cut off is to feel abandoned. Feeling lost is a very real, very human thing to feel. It can also come from anger, from misunderstandings, and from feeling judged. When we are feeling unloved and lost, then we can't love. We become unloving. So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? I mean, wouldn't you do that? You had 10 pennies? Wouldn't you, like, tear your house apart to find one? The kids this morning agreed that, well, really, Jesus, probably we wouldn't do that, they told me. None of us would. But here's the good news. God will, and God does. God's love and care does not follow one single human rule, but God is wildly, crazily, unpredictably extravagant in God's desire to bring us all into God's beloved community. God wants to bring us all into God's kingdom. Everybody belongs in God's dream of creation, and God will not let one of us remain lost. The corollary to the definition of sin in our catechism is the definition of redemption. Redemption is the act of God which sets us free from the power of will, sin, and death. Of course, for Christians, the ultimate act of redemption was our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and then risen. Well, sin is our reality. It is the human reality. But so is God's redemption our human reality. For grace, love, and acceptance are gifts from God. Today at Calvary, at the 9 o'clock service, we're back to 8, 9, and 11, we, at that service, on your behalf and on the behalf of this whole congregation, participated in a baptism. When we have a baptism in one of our services, I think it kind of spills over on everybody, no matter when you come to church, that spirit and that joy. We welcomed little Hannah Elizabeth Ryman into the body of Christ. And baptism and the renewal of our baptismal covenant that we do with those services are excellent outward and visible signs of the inward grace of the truth that we belong to God. As Hannah grows, as you grew, as your children grow, your God children, your grandchildren, as she grows, she's about this big, by the way, Hannah. Her parents and her godparents and every one of us here can remind her over and over again that this universe was created with her in mind. In God's creation, she will always belong. And here at Calvary, she will always belong. No one and no thing can take that away from her. And that goes for everybody here. As she grows, it's hard to see a little tiny sweet thing thinking she'll make mistakes. She will sin. Every parent here knows what happens about that. And as she becomes distant from God, as we all do, she will find that there is plenteous redemption. There will be grace, and that God will find her and bring her back. When one of us is lost, our families, our communities, our world is less than, lessened. In the picture that I contemplate, this iconic picture, the sheep in the picture that are fat and sleek and healthy in the light are looking at the lonely, fearful, cold, lost sheep, because without him, they are less. Sometimes we're that lost sheep, and sometimes we are gathered with the others on the other side. But always, God seeks us, no matter where we are, to do God's will. So I wonder today, as people who believe in God's incarnation in Christ Jesus, as we believe that we are the hands, the eyes, the heart, and the feet of Christ, that God does God's work through us, I wonder if there's somebody that you can think of who was lost. Somebody in your family, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody from Calvary that you used to see, but you don't see anymore. I wonder what would happen if you tried to search for them, to find them, and to tell them how much you miss them. Sometimes people who are lost don't want to be found, and that's also a hard reality of being human. But we can pray, and we can send their name out into that universe that was created just for them, and know that God holds them tenderly, always in God's heart. No person should be out in the darkness, alone and afraid, cold and hungry, cut off from their world. But know this: Jesus will leave the 99, and he will find the one. That is the promise. And God does work through us, because we have been created by love, for love.